Welcome to the 3-Point Stance,
your weekly fantasy football podcast.
From the website of WILS.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is our stat man, Honest Rob.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, today on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to tell you a little bit about the show. After that, we're going to get right into it with our headline story, Wade Phillips. After that, we're going to talk about some injuries. Then we move on to our pickups of the week. After that, we're going to give out our mid-season awards. Next is our segment.
You're killing me, Smalls!
After that, we're going to talk about the bye week for just a quick minute. After that is our segment, Get In My Line.
Or Ride the Pine.
And we're going to end up with some shout-outs. All right, Brad?
Yeah, I want to tell you guys a little bit about ourselves. We are called the 3-Point Stance. We've been doing fantasy football for a little bit now. Luckily, WILS has picked us up to bring you guys fantasy advice every week. If you'd like to email us any of your fantasy questions, you can email us at the3pointstance@gmail.com. The number 3, don't spell out the word 3, and we'll try to get your question on. We're definitely going to email you back, help you guys get your fantasy lineup set. So that's the introduction. Jason, Wade Phillips, that's our headline stories. Fired. What does that mean for the Cowboy players there?
Unfortunately for the Cowboys, I don't think it really means much for their players. A coaching change obviously is more of an administrative thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to really change the way they're playing right now.
Well, wasn't he more of a kind of offensive-minded coach, Jason Garrett?
Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator right now. Wade Phillips, I believe, is the head coach and the defensive coordinator. So, I mean, it should shift their focus a little bit more toward the offensive side of the ball, but you're still going to have John Kitna heading up your offense.
And that's what's really been holding any of your Cowboys players back so far,
yeah,
is John Kitna.
As soon as Kitna came in, that whole offense took a nosedive. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were not a good team before that, but after Kitna got in, they've been a train wreck.
And I think some people actually thought that Kitna, you know, he had the playmakers around to be a viable fantasy option, and he proved last week that is not the case.
Yeah, I definitely thought that. I mean, I thought with Miles Austin and especially, you know, the wide receivers, Miles Austin and Roy Williams and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, that he could put something together there as far as offense goes. But I mean, they still lack a running game of any form at all. I mean, they've got three great running backs with Marion Barber and Felix Jones and Tashard Choice there,
right?
But they don't use them at all.
And Kitna seems to have some type of love affair with Dez Bryant. That seems to be obvious. If you have Dez Bryant, though, I mean, are you not playing him? I mean, because Kitna's looking for him, but that's all he's looking for.
I think with Dez Bryant, and also I think Jason Witten, I think you might start those two guys. Witten, I think, is a for sure start with Kitna in there. He's checking down to Witten a lot. Other than that, I'm not starting Miles Austin. I'm not starting Roy Williams. I would possibly look, I mean, it depends on how your team is, but it possibly look at Dez Bryant as a start, and obviously not starting John Kitna or any of the running backs.
Yeah, I'm not starting John Kitna.
And their defense is just straight out.
Horrid.
You don't touch the defense in Dallas at all.
You have the Dallas defense. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on now to some injuries here. First up, I want to talk about some wide receiver injuries. One of them that's very near and dear to my heart, Roddy White, got injured this week. Knee injury, actually, is questionable to play. He has a short week because he plays Thursday.
Yeah, that's the problem there.
He tried to come back into the game. He was in and out a couple times, and
He seems to think he's going to play this week.
Yeah, he's told the media he's going to play. I don't know if I believe him quite yet. So what do you do with him? I mean, are you leaving him on your bench? You rolling with him Thursday or what?
Well, the good thing about the game being on Thursday is that that will be the only news headline for the Thursday game. So you will know if he's going to be in or not before the game.
That's
so
true.
If he's saying that he's going to be in, can you really sit him?
No.
I don't think he can.
I think you're looking at probably the best fantasy wide receiver in the game right now.
Definitely.
If he plays, you roll him out.
Exactly. You have to and hope for, you know, he's Matt Ryan's going to throw to him regardless.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, hope for a touchdown, and that will at least get you through the week till he says he's 100% healthy.
Yeah. All right, our next wide receiver injury is Austin Colley. A wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts got injured, a
vicious
concussion.
Hit.
Yeah, vicious hit. Apparently it wasn't as bad as it looks, though. He's okay. He was sitting up in the locker room after the game and everything, but definitely not going to play this week.
Right.
So what do you think that does for some of the other wide receivers in Indianapolis?
Well, the wide receivers are just always good in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you have Wayne, you're starting him. If you have Garcon, you're starting them. If you have Tammy, even, you're starting them. So I think you're going to be good as far as, I don't think he affects the other wide receivers all that much. They're going to have a good game regardless, I think.
Do you think it boosts the value of someone like a Blair White, who's probably now going to start out of the slot?
If you're starting Blair White, you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel there. Now, get me wrong, Blair White's a good player, and Peyton Manning does, you know, spread the ball around. So that's obviously a good thing, but I think if you're starting Blair White, your team has some problems there, unless you're in a very deep league.
I don't know. I think Blair White could have some value. I mean, he's going to be starting. Anybody who starts on the Indianapolis Colts offense is going to have some value.
But he only has one touchdown on the year.
I understand that, but he hasn't got the opportunities. This time he's going to have the opportunities because he's going to be starting.
But they've had wide receivers hurt all season long.
Yeah, but not to the level that got Blair White involved. At this point, you know, you've got enough injuries with Austin Colley and Anthony Gonzalez that Blair White's going to get some starting time. He's going to be out of the slot, where I think he's going to be better than as a wideout. I think he's got some value this week.
There might be some value, but I think if you're using him, it's a Hail Mary, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a feast or famine type of thing. I mean, he's sort of unproven. But, I mean, with bye week still here for one more week anyway, you know, you might be in injuries at the position. You might be short.
Okay,
so
I can see that.
I think you could take a flyer on Blair White. You could do worse, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, some of our quarterbacks out this week. We have Matt Moore, who is now on IR, out for the season.
Ew.
Yeah. So what do you think that does for Carolina there? I mean, they looks like they started some mix of, you know, Jimmy Clausen and Tony Pike, both rookies, once Matt Moore got injured. So
Pike looked better to me, but they both looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Clausen, for all the talk of he being in the Notre Dame college, you know, pro system, and that, I'm sorry, he still looked really bad. So I don't think it really affects any of the receivers there too much. If you have Steve Smith, you're probably going to want to wait to see if maybe he has some type of chemistry with Pike that he doesn't have with Jimmy Clausen. But I think you're going to kind of stay away from the wide receivers in Carolina for a while till they show you something.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I don't know whose decision it was in Carolina there, but somebody needs to get fired. Who decided to have Matt Moore with two rookie quarterbacks backing him up, and that's your quarterback?
I have no idea.
That's your whole quarterback core, right? Core right there. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Our other quarterback injured this week is Matt Stafford.
I'm hearing out for the season.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's becoming one of the most injury prone quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to go. I like Drew Stanton. I really do.
I do too.
So I want to see what he does. I want to see if he can convert, you know, to the pros. He hasn't really had a whole lot of time to play. But I think if he can do what he did at MSU, I can definitely see some value in him in the coming weeks.
All right, I want to talk about one more injury here. Ryan Matthews, running back, injured again.
Yes.
Is it time to jump ship?
I jump shipped a long time ago. About 3 weeks ago is, I think, when I jump ship.
I agree. I think at this point, unless you're in some sort of a keeper league, I think Ryan Matthews has proven that he's just not going to be healthy this season.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
All right, we're going to move on the three-point stance to our pickups of the week. In pickups of a week of the week is a little interesting this week because a lot of our pickups are good players. It's a pretty shallow week, but yeah. A lot of our good pickups are actually on a bye this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So unfortunately,
this is building for the future.
Yeah,
this is foundation.
This is not going to help you this week as much. It's a pretty shallow pool here. Our first pickup, and I'm going to attempt this. It's Sei Ajiratutu, I believe is how you pronounce
right.
that. He's a wide receiver in San Diego, finally getting a chance to show what he can do with the slew of injuries they have there.
Yeah, definitely.
And had a big week, so I think he's our number one pickup of the week anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and like you said, they're on the bye. The thing that you have to know about him is when the starters come back, yeah. They're going to come back. He's going to fall to fantasy irrelevance.
Yeah, you're really only talking about a one-week plug-in because after the bye week, Malcolm Floyd is expected to come back from injury. The week after that, you're going to get Vincent Jackson back.
Legadunane
at some point is going to come back. So, I mean, it's really just a short-term solution if you've got, you know, just a bleed that you really need to plug up for a second.
Right,
We're going to stick with the Chargers here, and tight end Randy McMichael is our next pickup.
Yeah, definitely.
Antonio Gates looking like he could be out for at least a few weeks, if not the rest of the season, with that foot issue he's got.
Yeah.
So, Randy McMichael scored two touchdowns this week and is looking like a pretty solid plug-in.
Yeah, and as far as tight ends go, it's a pretty shallow pool right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You might be looking, you know, in someone who scores two touchdowns, mm-hmm. as far as the tight end goes, that's gold as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have Antonio Gates and you're kind of hurting, that tight end might be something to look into.
Yeah, Randy McMichael's probably an essential handcuff for all you Antonio Gates owners out there. And if you missed out on Jacob Tammy, maybe in our pickups last week, you know,
right.
You can sub in Randy McMichael and get some points for yourself. Our next pickup is going to be Jacoby Ford, wide receiver out in Oakland there. Had a good week, something like 148 yards, and then a kickoff return touchdown.
Yeah, and one of the things is they're actually the coaching staff there saying they're trying to find ways to get him the ball.
Yeah.
So whenever you hear that about a player, mm-hmm. he's definitely worth a look in your fantasy league.
And he's a speedy guy. I mean, if you saw any of the plays, he is just fast.
And he had a phenomenal catch at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, to win the game, really.
Honest, Rob, do you have some stats for us there on Jacoby Ford?
Yeah, I got those stats for you right here, Jason. Looks like with Jacoby over the past few weeks, he's kind of come to life, like we were just talking about. Only a few points last week, but at least he got some receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Two receptions week 7 against Denver. Two receptions week 8 against Seattle. This last week, though, 6 receptions, 148 yards. That led to 20 points in standard leagues.
Wow.
Yeah, with that kickoff return touchdown, that long one there, and then the 6 receptions for 148.
Yeah.
He's looking like a serious option there.
Definitely if you get kick return yards in your league.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say he was a definite pickup there.
Definitely. All right, our next pickup is going to be James Jones. We talked about him, I think, a couple weeks ago, yeah. Green Bay Packers wide receiver. Again, with the injury to Donald Driver. Once Donald Driver comes back, I think James Jones is going to lose some value.
Yeah.
But for right now, as long as Driver's out, then you know, he's going to have some value as the third receiver there, or second receiver there, picking up some.
Yeah, like we said, you know, these aren't you know, pickups that you're going to have for the rest of your season. This is just something if you have a couple wide receivers out, maybe some injuries or something like that, something to look into right there. He'll probably get you some points week to week.
Definitely. All right, one more pickup I want to talk about is Mike Goodson. He is the only running back right now on Carolina's active roster. D'Angelo Williams out. Jonathan Stewart went out of the game. I can't remember, his backup also went out of that game. So yeah, now they're down to their last running back in Mike Goodson. And I figure that means he's going to get all the carries.
One thing, yes. He is still a four-string running back, though, so I'm going to stay away from him. But, hey, if you're really – you got no one –
if you're desperate,
yeah,
he's going to get the carries. I mean, yeah, he's the guy right now.
How many teams have no committees? You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, maybe worth a look.
He'll get you some points anyway. You know, if you're looking for a flex, I'd say Mike Goodson is probably, if you're desperate, worth a flyer.
Right.
All right, we're going to move on here on the three-point stance. We're going to give out our mid-season awards. This is where we look. The season is now officially half over.
Okay.
So we look at all our players and we give out some awards for players that we think are doing exceptionally well.
Okay.
We're going to start out with our MVP award. My MVP for this season, half season, is Phillip Rivers. He's averaging 18.9 points per game. He's got 215 completions, 329 attempts, 2,944 yards, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
And a decimated wide receiver.
Yes, and that's the reason he gets my MVP vote, is because he's been doing it with wide receivers, basically a turnstile at wide receivers. People just in and out, and he's still getting it done.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna take a little bit of different angle with my MVP. I'm going to go ahead and give it to T.O., Terrell Owens, and part of it is just because no one expected this from him.
That's
Everyone
true.
Thought that he was going to come. You know, he's a clown. Mm-hmm. He's a reality show guy. You know, he's just trying to get his last hurrah, Batman and Robin. If he's supposed to be Robin, then I don't know. You know,
I think actually they've been calling Ocho Cinco Robin lately.
Okay,
they've been giving T.O. Batman.
So he has 55 receptions, 770 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Wow.
Now, if you double that for the rest of the season, we're talking monster stats here for a wide receiver who everyone thought was really his prime was over and done with.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm gonna go with T.O.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's having a great season. All right, after MVP, we're gonna move on to Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
My Offensive Player of the Year is Arian Foster. Right now, he's got 157 rushes, 864 yards, leads the league in rushing, has 9 touchdowns, also has 32 receptions, 315 yards catching, and a touchdown there.
And it's very likely that you have him on a team with, say, Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson, whatever, because he did not go high in the draft.
Yeah, you can have him on your team with another high-profile running back that you got in the first round. So
yeah, I mean, he's definitely been that. I mean, he took the Texans team, which was a pass-first team, and really made him a run-first team.
Yeah, they really have.
And if you're a Schaub owner, you know that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Arian Foster has just been lights out this year. He is ridiculous right now.
All right, my Offensive Player of the Year, it hurts me a little bit to talk about this right now because I have him on my team, but Antonio Gates has been playing lights out. Obviously, we just talked about the injury.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know when he's going to come back.
But this is a half-season award,
so we're good. Half season. So check out what he's done so far. He has 40 receptions, 663 yards, and get this, 9 touchdowns.
Wow.
The dude's a freaking monster.
On a half-season, 9 touchdowns. That is crazy.
Some wide receivers, good wide receivers, don't even get that on a season.
Yeah,
so,
that's definitely true.
Yeah, for me, that's my offensive player right there. You got to give it to him.
We're going
to
move on to Defensive Player of the Year. My Defensive Player of the Year is Clay Matthews.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, he's got 31 tackles, 10.5 sacks on the season, and an interception that he returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, he's just he's the man. What are you going to say?
Yeah, he is a beast. And you can tell the difference in the Green Bay Packers defense when he's in and when he's out. They're a completely different unit.
Definitely. I think that he's going to win the award at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, my defensive player, probably not going to win an award. And you know what? Call me partial because we're close to the Lions. But I'm going to say Alphonso Smith. He's a cornerback for the Lions. 5 interceptions, 30 tackles, and 24 solo tackles.
Wow.
For a cornerback, especially for the Lions, that's pretty impressive.
For a defense that's doing that poor, to have a player that's doing that well is pretty
impressive. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead, and my guy is Alphonso Smith.
All right. Next award up is our defensive team of the year, as opposed to just a single defensive player. We're going to talk about the defensive team as a whole for your fantasy team. My defensive team of the year is the Pittsburgh Steelers, the number one scoring defense in all of fantasy. They allow just over 15 points per game, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So just an elite defense, especially against the run.
Yeah, for sure. My defense is going to be the Tennessee Titans. They've been pretty good all season. I think a lot of people thought, you know, they lost Vanden Bosch, Haynesworth, some of their really big, you know, frontline people, and they didn't really think they were going to do too well. But they've actually had a few big games. Honest, Rob, can you give us some big games that the Titans defense has had so far?
Yeah. Out of the eight games that they've played, six, in standard scoring anyway, six of those games have been over 10. And
wow.
Six nice. In the double digits.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their most notable games lately, at Jacksonville, they put up 17 points. In standard scoring, and the Philly game they put up 15. Both of those games with the Jacksonville, they actually only allowed 3 points and 3 interceptions, which, you know, they certainly won the turnover battle there.
Wow.
Philly, 2 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries. They did allow 19 points, but they did have that touchdown, which always really adds to the you know, defensive scoring.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's my defensive team right there.
All right, we're going to move on to our Rookie of the Year award. Rookie of the half year, I guess I should say. My rookie award goes to Mike Williams of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So far, he's got 36 receptions, 559 yards, 5 touchdowns. He does have 3 fumbles, so
yeah,
he needs to work on that.
Needs to get that under control.
But other than that, I mean, you're talking about a rookie coming out looking like he's going to get, you know, if you project it out for the season, 72 receptions, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. He's looking like he's going to have a monster season.
Yeah, definitely. So,
for a rookie.
Kind of reminds me of like a DeSean Jackson, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's definitely, he's got the size too. He's a big guy.
Yep.
So that's always a good thing. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit different on my rookie. I'm going to go Javid Best. I understand lately he hasn't done a whole lot, but the Lions backfield, it would kind of be lost, I think, at this point without him. He had some monster weeks the first couple weeks, then suffered the toe injury, which has kind of been holding him back a little bit. But I also think, forecasting a little bit, I think with Drew Stanton in, I think he's going to play a more integral role. He's definitely catching balls out of the backfield, a lot of sweeps, screen passes, and that kind of thing. And I think for a rookie, I mean, he's kind of turned a franchise around, and that's what you're looking for your rookie player, to come in, kind of bring a new spark to that team, and that's what I think Javid Best has done.
Definitely. We're going to move on to our pickup player of the year. This is somebody you grabbed off the waiver wire, most likely, who has been a big boost to your team.
Yes.
My pickup of the year is Michael Vick, who is the best dual threat quarterback in the NFL right now.
He's sick.
And no one really expected him to start. You know, I mean, you heard everything about Kevin Cobb being the starter, and you know, Michael Vick has come in and just done great in relief of Kevin Cobb and earned the starting job back. He's got 7 touchdowns throwing, 2 rushing, a 105.3 quarterback rating. He's off the charts right now. He is just...
And the funny thing is that he's actually better now than he was in Atlanta, because now he has the weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you really can't undercut his importance to that team right now. I mean, I think he could win the MVP for the you know, NFL by the end of the season.
Yeah, and if you grabbed him off the waiver wire in your league, congratulations. You just got a number one quarterback for nothing.
Exactly.
Definitely. I just want to point out, too, here, guys, for all the games that he's completed the game, all 4 of those games, he's scored over 20 in standard scoring,
nice.
Which that I think that even outdoes Rivers' average.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so if he continues on that route without getting injured, I think he's going to rise to number one.
I definitely agree, yeah.
Okay, I need to put mine out there now. I got a little bit of a crush on this dude. He's my guy. Because I had him on my team last year, and I didn't know if he was going to start this year. So I got to go with Peyton Hillis, who got traded to the Browns for Brady Quinn. I just want to throw it out there because that just makes it better. Listen to his stats. 133 rushing attempts, 644 yards, 7 touchdowns. He also has 30 receptions for 299 yards and 1 touchdown. And to top it all off, he has 1 pass for 13 yards.
Wow.
Off the waiver wire, people. Come on, for Brady Quinn. I mean, and you know what? He reminds me of Mike Allstott, if you remember
does,
him from Tampa Bay. He's kind of a fullback. He runs like a running back, kind of has the body of a tight end almost, too. He'll run you over. He'll run around you.
A beastie runner. And he plays, he's a tough guy, too. I mean, he plays through injury. He had that quad injury
definitely.
And just played right through it and still did well. I mean, yeah, tough runner. Looks a lot like Mike Allstott. I definitely agree.
So if you got him, congratulations to you. You just got a starting running back off the waiver wire.
Yep. And imagine if you paired, you could conceivably have paired Peyton Hillis, Arian Foster, and a number one running back like Adrian Peterson or something.
You're just killing everyone in your league.
All right, we're going to move on to our last midseason award here is the best team in the NFL. My best team in the NFL is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All righty.
They're 6-2 right now. They're 2-1 in their division. They do have that division loss to the Ravens. That was before Big Ben came back, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the only loss they have since Big Ben has come back has been to the defending Super Bowl champions, New Orleans Saints.
Right.
So sitting at 6-2, you know, tied for the lead in their division. And just playing really great ball with Ben Roethlisberger back there. I mean, this week alone, they had a great game.
Yeah, I mean, they're Super Bowl contenders almost every season. They kind of got a dynasty going on there. So, yeah, definitely one of the best teams in the NFL. My best team, I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
It's another good one.
Offensively, they have just been a beast. You know, Eli Manning came out this season, kind of looked like Eli Manning, what you expect. And all of a sudden, he found Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah.
And it's just been lights out since then. I mean, you're talking, you know, at least two or three games with three touchdowns just to Nicks. You got Ahmad Bradshaw out of the backfield, leading runner in that division.
Yep.
You have Jacobs that's running people over. I mean, so
looking a little bit like the Jacobs of old.
Yeah, a little bit. Jacobs, I wouldn't say he's right there, but he's kind of getting there.
Shades of it.
And then their defense. Just ask Jay Cutler how good their defense is.
Yeah.
I mean, they
ask just about any quarterback they've gone up against. They've been killing quarterbacks this year.
They are injuring quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's their job. So, yeah. And that's what you're looking at when you're talking about the best team. You're looking at the offense that can outscore you, and you're looking at the defense that can keep you from scoring. So I think they really have both of those components there.
Definitely. Giants are we're a top pick of mine also for best team in the NFL. I think Pittsburgh edges them out, but definitely Giants are way up there.
Right.
All right, next up on the three-point stance, we're going to get to our section.
You're killing me, Smalls.
All right, this is a section where we talk about some players that aren't doing so hot right now.
And that you expect them to do.
Yeah, good. Probably hurting your team.
Where you drafted them, or you know, you're usually almost an every-week starter, and they're just not pulling their weight. So first one we got to talk about, the Carolina Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. 0 points this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And partially, you can blame his quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's still the number one wide receiver there, and you're not pulling in any catches.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a player like Larry Fitzgerald, who, you know, I equate a lot to Steve Smith as far as their skill set.
Yeah.
And you can also equate them now as to how their quarterbacks are playing, because, you know, Fitzgerald has Anderson and Max Hall in the backfield they're throwing to him. But, I mean, he's still getting his touches, he's still getting his targets, he's still getting his touchdowns even.
Yeah, definitely.
Steve Smith isn't doing that.
No. So, and where you got him in your you know, draft, you were expecting him to be one of your starting wide receivers.
Yeah,
and he's just, you're not going to feel comfortable starting him until maybe you see Pike or Clawson look comfortable, and I don't know how long that's going to be.
Yeah, and at this rate, he's going to become the other Steve Smith, and you know, Steve Smith from the Giants is going to be the Steve
Smith. Exactly. That's the way he's going. Up next, Miles Austin. I have Miles Austin on my team. He was doing good. Obviously, Tony Romo was in there. The first week Kittner came in, I decided to sit him when he had close to 100 yards, I believe, and maybe even a touchdown.
I think he did, yeah.
And then last week, I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put him in, and yeah, he got me nothing. I believe 16 yards was what he got. And where you drafted him, that was actually my first wide receiver I took off the board in the draft.
Most people's first wide receiver.
Yeah, he's not pulling his weight right now. And I don't know if it's not necessarily his fault. Most of it obviously attributed to Kittner, but still.
If any of it was Wade Phillips' fault, and again, I'm hesitant to put all the blame on Wade Phillips, but if it was Wade Phillips' fault, he should be rebounding here.
Yeah, and so we're going to have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be on the comeback for my sake and everyone else's. Another one we want to put out there, kind of you know, referenced it earlier, Ocho Cinco.
Mm-hmm.
He's been just completely blown out by T.O.
Yeah.
The
team used to be Ocho Cinco's, and T.O. comes in, and it's all of a sudden the T.O. show.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And, I mean, they even have a show together, and I still think he gets overshadowed there. So, yeah, if you had Ocho Cinco, you're looking at T.O., and you are not very happy right now.
Definitely. You guys just better get your popcorn ready, because Ocho Cinco, he was a guy that I think a lot of us had at least some hope for. I mean, we were hoping for a dynamic duo, you know, Batman and Robin, like we were talking about. But there's only been two games where Ocho Cinco's performance has been stellar. He's only got two touchdowns on the season. Week one at New England, he had a touchdown. Week seven at Atlanta, he had a touchdown. Other than that, his performance has been pretty bad. Those are the only 2 weeks that he was even in double digits for scoring.
Yeah.
That's horrible, especially where he drafted him.
Yep.
So not an every week start anymore. Another person we want to talk about, and this isn't he's a little bit different from the rest of the players on the list, but
okay.
Mike Williams from Seattle, he was a very big waiver wire pickup.
Yeah.
Had a few good weeks where he was really stellar, number one wide receiver on the team, and lately, the last 2 weeks, just not even there. Yeah. Like, I mean, he might as well not even been on the field.
One, the last week, anyway, you might be able to attribute to Charlie Whitehurst being the quarterback.
Right.
But, yeah, no, before that, just severe drop-off in production. Yeah. And if you picked him up on the waiver wire as, you know, your savior at the wide receiver position, he's letting you down right now, yeah. That's for sure.
So I think you definitely got to see a little bit more. Matt Hasselbeck supposedly coming back this week. Maybe that will help his production out
a little bit. For me, I think on that Mike Williams, I think I'm jumping ship.
All right. I think I'm gonna hold on for another week or two, yeah, if I got him. Last player we want to talk about here, Brent Celek, tight end from Philadelphia Eagles, was projected as a top 10 tight end this season. Is he even alive right now? Does he have a pulse?
Who knows?
I mean, he likes Kevin Cobb, but with Vic back, it jump ship. Yeah. Abandon it. Burn it. Get out of there.
If you're in a short yardage situation on the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, Vic is going to run the ball.
Yep.
He's not handing off to a running back. He's not checking down. He's going to run the ball.
No.
Other than that, he's throwing it deep to Macklin or DeSean Jackson and getting a touchdown that way. You know, there is no short passing game to either LeSean McCoy or Brent Celek right now.
Yeah, so
certainly not with those guys. And I think some of the possession passing game, too, has come from some of the other Eagles wide receivers. Jason Avant has really stepped it up, and he was pretty much a nobody last year.
Yeah.
So I think that Celek with Vic is playing as dynamic as he is, just to kind of chime in there, Jay, kind of just to kind of go on what you were saying. I mean, he did nothing, literally nothing last week, no receptions.
I think he only even had the one target last week, and he missed it.
You know, I mean, maybe you can just play him as a, well, maybe not even play him, but if
you need
you're
a
stuck,
warm body in exactly. your lineup.
there you go.
I'm jumping ship on him.
Yeah. All right, next up on the three-point stance, we're going to talk about the bye weeks real quick. Last week of byes, thank God.
Yeah.
teams on the bye week this week, New Orleans Saints, Green Bay Packers, San Diego Chargers, and Oakland Raiders. So some of the big-name players you're going to have out. A lot of big-name quarterbacks out, actually, with Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers all out. You're also going to have Marcus Colston, Greg Jennings, Darren McFadden, Antonio Gates, and Zach Miller all on the bench this week. So get those players out of your lineup.
If they're there, definitely want to get them out. They're not going to do you any good.
All right, our next segment up on three-point stance here is Get In My Line.
Oh, Ride the Pine. This is what we're going to do. We're going to give you guys kind of rapid fire. We're going to give you two players that are similar. You might have both of them on your team, and you're trying to figure out which one you're going to start this week. We're going to make it easy on you.
We make the decision for you.
So we have Jay and Honest Rob are going to be giving their inputs on this one. So let's start out tight ends. Jacob Tammy from the Colts or Vernon Davis, tight end for San Francisco?
I'm going to play Jacob Tammy. I think he has a better game.
Give me Vernon Davis, actually.
Okay. Moving on, we're going to do some running backs. Maurice Jones-Drew or Ray Rice?
Maurice Jones-Drew, I think, is a better receiver out of the backfield. I'm going with him.
MJD. I agree with Jay.
Okay. Going to go to quarterbacks now. Matt Schaub versus David Garrard.
That's a tough one for me, but I think I'm going to go with Garrard up against that horrible Houston secondary. I think I got to go Garrard.
I'm going to go with my buddy David. Same thing going with NGD, so I'm going with David Garrard.
Yep. Okay, we're going to have some elite running backs right here. Peyton Hillis or Darren McFadden?
That's a really tough decision for me. I think I'm going to go with Peyton Hillis, though. You can't really go wrong with either of them, but I think
he's
Peyton Hillis.
Yeah,
he's up against the Jets, but I still think he just keeps up his production.
I'm going to continue to ride the hot hand with McFadden.
Okay, all right. Next, we're going to do some wide receivers. Miles Austin, Randy Moss. Who has the worst suckfest?
I think I'm going with Randy Moss in this one. I think he plays a little better than Miles Austin there in Dallas.
Dallas is playing the Giants. Kitna throws a lot of interceptions, so I got to go with Randy Moss.
Yep. All right. Now, quarterbacks, are we going with Tom Brady or Kyle Orton?
Wow. I'm going to go with Tom Brady. I think I'm going to stick with my buddy Tom.
I know Orton started out great this season. Never really been an Orton believer, though, so I got to go with Brady.
All right. We have defenses now. Miami's defense versus Cleveland's defense.
I'm going to go Miami. I know Cleveland had a great week. I'm not buying into it yet, though.
Give me Cleveland, actually. I think I am going to buy into it.
All right, last one here, wide receiver. Steve Johnson versus Mike Williams. Tampa Bay, Mike Williams.
I'm going to go Mike Williams.
Give me Williams.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. We actually want to do shout-outs real quick before we get out. We're going to do this at the end of every show. I want to give a shout-out to Sue Cater. She's the one that did our logo that you're clicking on to listen to us.
Thank you very much, Sue.
On the WILS 1320 website. So definitely want to give a shout-out to Sue Cater.
All right, my shout-out is going to be to the Green Bay Packers defense. Thank you for single-handedly getting me a win in all three of my leagues this week.
My shout-out is going to be to Sarah Rosa and Ryan Porter, our new production team.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the 3-Point Stance. I'm Brad.
I'm Statman Honest Rob.
And I'm Jason. Everybody remember, you can email us at the3pointstance@gmail.com, and that is the number 3, not the word. Everybody remember to keep your fantasies on the field.